Hey, good morning, everyone. So what we're going to do is up front, the challenge, as usual, is this. What is it that's been going on in your head for so long that you need a breakthrough on? It's really that simple. For you, for your family, maybe for your community, maybe it's a burden you have for the world. That's exactly what we have here with Nehemiah and this prayer. In Nehemiah 1, I'm going to read it, mispronounce a few words here, names. That's okay. They probably got made fun of when they were young anyway. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. And they said to me, "Those who survived the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. For some days I mourned and I fasted and I prayed before the God of heaven. And then I said, now remember, understand that Nehemiah, he's a journaler. He writes down a lot of stuff. He thinks a lot. And so it says that when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. Then for days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We've acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you're unfaithful, I'll scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants.'" That's me and you right now. "Of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." I was a cupbearer to the king. So what is it? What's the big breakthrough that you need in a bigger scale, or you need on a personal scale? What is it that it's been going on forever and you don't have any solid leads? You don't have any direction? Let me just be upfront and honest. I believe the reason that we're not willing to approach God the way Nehemiah did in this prayer is because we already know the consequences of what we've done. He talked about the sin, and we already know the will of God in this situation, and we just really aren't ready to hear what God has to say about it. See, Nehemiah was deeply concerned for his people, and I think we ought to be as well, especially in these times. So when they came to him, what did he say? He asked about the remnant. He didn't ask, how their jobs were going, how their health was, how's, so and so. He did a sort of Jesus thing, and he just came straight out with what was on his heart. The report he got was that they were in big trouble. It might be you right now. It might be somebody you know. It might be more. This is obviously something that had a profound effect on him, as it broke him to fast and pray for several days. So back to the original question. If you and me right now could get brutally honest with ourselves about what's been stirring and brewing for a long time in us, and just get it out in the open right now and begin the spiritual process of change, what would that look like? Now, I'm the least of disciplined creatures, especially when it comes to fasting and putting prayer and fasting together, but I'm conveniently convinced by this passage right now, because after much prayer and fasting, I recently took a huge leap of faith by resigning my job as the pastor of a church and a pastor of people that I dearly love for over 5 years, to begin this process that God has stirred me for, a remnant of people that I knew God was sending me in, to be with. And it began really with prayer and fasting. The fasting part came just driving down the road when I was crying out to God, and He just clearly told me exactly how I was to fast. It actually hasn't ended yet, but it wasn't. It's something that God just sort of said, you don't need that in your life. And currently, my family is experiencing really one breakthrough after another. They're not all pleasant. Let me just share that, and I'm sure my wife would agree, as it wasn't for Nehemiah, but they're clearly each breakthrough is a move towards God. So whatever it is going on with you right now, don't think that it's just going to open up the skies, that it's all going to come right now. There are a lot of little breakthroughs that can come. What is the one area that you might need like an extreme makeover or an extreme remodel or an extreme breakthrough? Could it be that you need to just pray and fast? Could it need you just need to marry the two, the great need, marry that with prayer and fasting, and make that one of the disciplines of obeying God's word, because it hasn't ever been a discipline, spiritual discipline that you've had in your life according to God's word? That's just the first challenge right there. I mean, have you ever done that? The second challenge is for, in this passage, is that Nehemiah had a heart for the parties that were guilty. Here, you heard it in the prayer. God, we've just been wicked. It wasn't just about what he wanted for himself. He was praying and fasting for an entire people. One of my favorite verses in all Scripture, in fact, the verse that started all this with me over a year ago, Jeremiah 29:7, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And God began to show me a remnant of people. And that's, I ended up resigning, but moving toward what God wants me to do. And it's been just so much fun. And so it fits quite nicely, that verse does, into what I'm personally experiencing and what Nehemiah is experiencing and what I would love for you to experience in your breakthroughs. Because I think that so often it's always all about us, and we forget about the bigger us, the community or the nation that we live in, that is so desperately in need of our prayer and fasting. It's almost like Jesus not showing up at the tomb. Remember that from last week? Like, he created space. He made space for the women and the disciples and even an angel to do his work. So please, as you consider your breakthrough and a breakthrough for your community, do as Nehemiah did. Call out, almost reminding the Lord in sort of a way. Verse 5, Lord, you're the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of man. We need that. Remember God's faithfulness. And let's learn from Nehemiah, who is it that you need to ask to gain more insight on what to pray and fast about? And then I believe that you will have strength, great strength and purpose, and you'll find yourself not only with a breakthrough, but a much, much, much closer relationship with God.